know that's true, but let's go back to Flat Earth. Why do you believe in the Earth's globe? Why do you believe?
It's physically impossible for the Earth to be flat for huge numbers of reasons. Extremely simple reasons that extremely simple minds could even comprehend. Really? Have you ever seen the moon?
Give me one reason then.
Have you ever seen the moon?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to do an analogy first because I love analogies because it proves how you guys literally don't know how to think. Let's imagine you and I are in a basketball court, okay? You with me so far?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there's a ball hanging in the middle of the ceiling in the basketball court, okay? Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
You and I are on opposite ends of the basketball court. You with me so far?
Yeah, of course.
If we look at the if we look at that ball that's hanging above the floor, are we going to see the same parts of it?
All right, I can give you, first of all, yes. We would
see No, we are not going to see the same parts of it. So this is why I said you guys literally don't know how to think, even with the easy examples.
So depending on the distance...
No, it does not depend on the distance.
Yes, if it's always circling, facing the same direction, you're always going to see the same size or side of it.
No, you absolutely cannot.
Is the moon spinning?
Look at this picture that I drew. Oh, I gotta get rid of my background real quick. Look at this picture that I drew. Tell me how it's possible for us to see the same parts of that moon. One person can see the left side, the other person can see the right side. Do you acknowledge this now, that it's not possible to see the same side of the ball?
So if the moon, what is the moon, first of all? What is the moon?
The question is, do you acknowledge that it's not possible to see the same side of the ball?
No, I mean, from this, if it's a ball and if it's physical, for example, yes, it would be impossible. But if it's a ball and someone is on the north and seeing the same moon, so no one is going to see the moon from two different side of it, because it's the distance is pretty high. Usually, you can't see the moon from the south.
Even if I was grading you on a curve, and you were a kindergartner, I still wouldn't consider what you just said to be a sentence. So can you try again?
I'm saying, do you know what the moon is? Have you ever been there?
I've never been to Australia, but I know that it's a continent.
No one has been to the moon except five, six people.
12 people.
So you believe those 12 people?
I've seen the moon through a telescope. I can tell that it's not whatever the fuck you think it is. You can see shadows and craters on it.
Yeah, of course. If it's one-sided, it could be flat, for example. Flat.
No, it cannot be flat. Do you know why?
How do you know? Go ahead.
So, if I were standing directly underneath something that's flat and shaped like the moon, what would it look like?
Flat against, flat, I mean, adjacent to the physical barrier.
Holy fucking shit. There is a flat circle directly above you. What does it look like?
I'm giving you adjacent to the barrier.
There is a flat circle directly above you. What does it look like?
What do you mean? I'm not saying it's flat.
See, you guys don't know how a circle works. And you're going to sit here and try to tell us what the shape of the Earth is. You don't know how a circle works.
Listen, so I'm explaining to you. If it's facing us, it's always going to look like it's circle. You've never seen
the moon
spinning. You've never seen the other side of the moon. How do you know it's a sphere, for example?
Because, it only looks like a circle if you're directly underneath it. Even you understand that. What starts to happen if you're somewhere else and your perspective changes? Is this a circle?
But is that what I'm claiming?
Is this a circle?
That is not what I'm claiming.
Yes, it is. Is this a circle? Is this a circle?
Where are you at?
Is this a circle?
That's not what I'm claiming, though.
Is this a circle?
That's not
Is this a circle?
No.
Okay, you are correct. It's not a circle. So the moon is not a flat disk above us because it would not look like a circle to anybody except whoever is directly beneath it. So we can get rid of that idea, right?
No, I'm asking if it was attached to the firmament, for example, we need physical barrier for gas pressure. We know this, right?
No, we don't know that.
Yes, we do not.
We don't know that.
Explain gas pressure without a barrier.
Planet Earth.
That's the only explanation, the only example you're claiming.
No, it's not the only example. Inside of fusion reaction chambers, they have spinning hydrogen gas, and an electromagnet on the bottom keeps the gas toward the bottom part of the container, while the rest is a total vacuum.
Yeah, is there
so
a barrier?
If you have forces at play, you can manipulate gas in an environment so that there are differences in the so you can have gas next to a vacuum or whatever.
But a force is never a container. A force can never contain an air.
Yes, it can. I just gave you an example.
Have you ever seen...
Oh, you're saying it's not an open container. Okay, Giant, do you acknowledge that if you go up in a hot air balloon, the air gets thinner?
Yes, I do.
What are you doing?
I do acknowledge it.
Are you at an airport?
No, I'm in my my school, but I'm telling you, as we go up, we know that there's less air as we go up, right?
Does the air get to the point where it's 1% the density it is at sea level?
1%? So if I was in
you can just hurry up and say yes, because we know this for a fact.
So if we were,
does it get to the point where it's 1,000 times less dense than it is at sea level?
Let's measure it to a pascal. Let's use pascal.
Does it get to the point where it's 1,000 times less dense than sea level?
How are we measuring this?
Does it get to the point?
How do we measure this?
Even people like you believe there are weather balloons, and we send them up to places where those are the conditions. So we know this for a fact, right?
If I was at the highest place in Earth, like let's say mountain, the highest mountain in the world, it would be 30-something pascal, 30,000, 38,000 pascal.
That's fucking great. Get a weather balloon to go up tens of thousands or 100,000 and more feet higher than that. And it begins to become 1,000 times less dense than it is at sea level. We know this for a fact.
And that is adjacent to a vacuum that is the best and the most strongest
your
vacuum we can ever have. On
vacuums
Earth.
Vacuums are not forces that do things, okay?
This is
10th grade level high school science.
No, I'm telling you, if you have a void and you have gas particles right here.
If you are correct about this, then all of the air at sea level needs to be flying up to equalize the pressure. Why does it not do that?
It does slowly.
No, it does not do that.
As you raise the air particles, the gas particles raise up. You don't know this?
No, I don't know things that aren't true.
This is actually high school level physics.
I know you are, but what am I? If you're going to try to insult me, don't plagiarize me.
I'm telling you the truth. As we go up, the level of air goes higher. It rises up. Gas particles go up. And because we have a physical barrier at the end, we are able to have pressure. And due to the density gradient, temperature, we have pressure gradient. It's simple. But without that physical barrier, all the air that is adjacent to a vacuum to 10 to 13 air pressure.
It doesn't matter if you have a vacuum, you idiot. You also can't have a pressure gradient. What happens when you open a can of soda? What's the sound it makes?
That explains mine.
You don't have an explanation for this. Why does the air rush out of a can of soda?
Because you don't have that physical barrier anymore. That pressure in that bottle is going up.
Why does the air come out of the can?
To find its medium on the air.
To equalize the pressure.
Of course, yeah.
The air pressure way up above us is thousands of times lower than it is at sea level. Why is the air not flying up at incredible speed? The difference in pressure in a soda can and sea level isn't that extreme, yet that air comes out of that thing immediately. There should be winds hundreds of miles an hour, literally all the time, flying upward.
That is due to the temperature we have.
No, it's not.
As you go up, we get colder, right?
If it got colder, it would get more dense. It would be like your skull.
Listen, cold particles have less kinetic energy, less motion in the particles.
Is cold air more dense than hot air?
Hot air is more dense than cold air.
No, it's not. Congratulations.
I'm telling you, in terms of kinetic energy, as you go up...
You're telling me bullshit. Hot air is less dense than cold air.
So can I share my screen so I can show you from a source? But I can't share my screen. I don't know why. How do I share my screen?
You can't share your screen.
But I'm explaining to you that... I'm explaining to you that the kinetic energy, the motion in the energy we have as you go up is less.
I'm aware of that. Do you know that it gets hotter as you go up once you get to a certain point?
I know. That's the reason, because of that pressure that is pushing the air back to the earth, that container. Without that container, you wouldn't have...
There is no container.
I'm telling you, there is. Without that, you wouldn't have air pressure at all.
You couldn't have pressure gradients with it. Tell me why it's possible for the air to be 1,000 times thinner than it is at sea level, but it can't reach zero.
You talking about altitude, like high altitude?
It doesn't matter. As you start at sea level, the air pressure is, we'll just say 1, and then we go way up to here. It becomes 1,000 times thinner. If we go up higher, it becomes 10,000 times thinner. Why can't the pressure simply disappear altogether if it can get to tens or hundreds of thousands of times less pressure?
I just told you, because of temperature and the air...
Because of temperature.
The air above us is pushing down the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
It is. This is like... You can research this.
The air at a weaker pressure is pushing on the air at more pressure below it. Do you know how fucking stupid that sounds?
The air above, if you
has less pressure, the air above has less pressure.
It's still pushing.
And is able to push on the air with more pressure because of what?
Because of what? What do you mean? The air pressure has density, right? It still has density, even though it's not.
Yeah, less density.
Even though it's not more denser than the air at sea level, it still have density. So that density above.
Do you understand that when you have two forces and one is larger than the other, it always wins? Do you understand that? Do you know what happens when a car and a train get into a head-on collision? Because you're telling us that the car wins.
I'm telling you, it's never one explanation. You can have multiple explanations for it.
Yes, and your current explanation is literally, it's not just that it's wrong. Right. It's the opposite of what's true. So the air above us has less pressure. That means it doesn't have the pressure necessary to push the air at higher pressure below it down. That's not possible. This explanation of yours goes absolutely nowhere, completely defeats your own position. You need to abandon this. The same way you've abandoned critical reasoning, you need to abandon this particular argument.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying just search a very quick.
Then give up on it. You just told me you understand it. Nope, you're going to stop. You just told me that you understand. So are you going to abandon this and admit that your explanation is wrong?
I think my explanation is more logical. I mean, maybe you don't understand it, but I'm giving you an example. If you just search simple question. Can you have pressure gradient in a container? You can still have pressure gradient in
the
earth.
Earth, you can, because Earth is huge and the force of gravity holds the atmosphere down. Yes, that is true.
Any container, I'm talking about any container. If you have two containers, if you have one container and below it is hot air and above it is cold air, you would have a gradient that goes as you go up, it gets less thinner and less thinner. Any container, simple container. I'm talking about. So you can search this.
No, you can't.
Just search it.
If you had a container and you heated the bottom, you could say that there's a difference. But do you know what? But that would only be like in a snapshot type of view. Do you know what happens over time? The pressure equalizes. So again, the air at sea level not only needs to, it wouldn't be leaking upwards, it needs to be flying upward. It would do it instantaneously at hundreds of miles per hour. When you open a can, the air doesn't leak out, it rushes out at incredible speed. But those pressures aren't as extreme as the pressure we're talking about. So we're done with this. It's beyond stupid. What do you want to talk about next?
Beyond stupid, you don't know about it. I think you don't
understand. Yes, I do know about it. I explained everything about it to you, and you admitted that it doesn't work.
You can search online. Can you have gradient, pressure gradient, any container, simple any container? It will say yes. It will say yes, because that is because the difference in temperature and the air above that container on the top of that container is pushing the density of that air above that on the top of the container is pushing down.
It's always once again not even close to being a sentence.
So it's because it's above the air below it, it's always going to push it because it has density. I don't think you don't.
The air above is not more dense or at more pressure than the air below. So again, I'm not going to correct you for a fifth time on this. What do you want to talk about next?
Listen. Correct me on what? I have verified this information 100% through science. I don't even deny science. This is through science, through observation.
What do you want to talk about next?
All right, let me ask you something. Do you think that we orbit and spin the Earth at the same time? We do orbit and spin, right?
Yeah, obviously.
And when you, if someone in the North is spinning and orbiting the Sun, and would you agree that it's every hour it's looking at a different direction? It is at a different direction, right?
Yeah.
If that's the case in the North, how do you see Polaris? If the Earth
because it's above you. Yeah, God, you're so fucking stupid.
If the Earth is tilted down and spinning, and it's the other side of the moon of the Sun, how do you see Polaris at the same place?
Are you indoors or outdoors?
Me, indoors. Outdoors.
You're outdoors right now?
What are you talking about?
What is above you? Tell me something above you that you can see.
But I'm telling you, if you're in a different
direction. Tell me something that is above you that you can see.
You're trying to.
Tell me something that is above you that you can see.
I'm trying to gaslight people, but let me explain to you.
You can never gaslighting a stupid person is just when you have a conversation with them. It's unavoidable.
Okay.
Tell me something that is above you.
I'm explaining to you. You can never see a Polaris if you're spinning.
You have so few dialogue options. Tell me something that is above you.
The sky. Why are you asking me this question?
Be more specific.
The sky. I'm outside.
Okay, we're just going to have to use our imagination. I hope you can do that. Imagine you're in your living room. Are you with me so far?
Is this how you do it? You just overtalk people.
Imagine you're in a living room. Are you with me so far?
You overtalk people and just claim you're winning?
Imagine you're in a living room. Are you with me so far?
Go ahead, explain it.
Imagine you're in a living room. Are you with me so far?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm with you.
Let's say that you draw an X on the ceiling directly above you. Are you with me so far?
I'm listening.
Are you with me so far?
I'm listening, yeah.
Okay, now what you do is you turn around and face the other direction. If you look up, are you going to see the X on the ceiling?
At the same position?
Yeah.
If I'm on the Earth and I'm spinning, let's say if the
Okay,
X.
I finally understand what you're trying to say now. You're telling me that Polaris should be going like this instead of staying in a pinpoint location,
Polaris
right?
should be at a different, some
Right?
time filter.
That's what you're saying, right?
I'm saying that Polaris should be like at a different, even small, very small difference in the position that it is.
Do you realize that Polaris is many light years away from us? Right. So if
No,
even if
not
you take the
farther.
distance from the Earth to the Moon, the angle that would be created from Polaris to the Earth to the Moon, the angle would be too small to know, to notice. Do you get that?
But you're facing a different direction, I'm telling you. If you're in the
Okay,
north,
so now you're back to the other thing. Now,
if I was
see,
going
this is what
this
I thought you were talking about
once,
earlier.
if I
You,
was
for
going
some
to
reason, think that if you turn around, you can't see things that are above you. That's not true. Then what you did was you tried to change it to, well, if we're spinning, then it should wobble. Then I explained to you it's too many light years away for you to see the angle. Now you're back to the first thing you said.
Well, let me explain it to you again. Do you see a
You don't need to
circle?
explain it to
Do you
me.
see a
I know
circle?
exactly what
Do you
you
see my
meant.
car? Do you see my car in a circle above it? The circle. Let's say you're above it, in the north. Let's say you're in the north. You're tilted like, and it's tilted, and it's spinning, and it's orbiting the sun. You shouldn't be able to see the moon, the North Star, every day at the same position. Every single night, you shouldn't be able to see that. It's impossible because
No, it's literally not impossible.
you're facing in a different direction than you were. When you face it at a different direction than you were, that North
It's
Star should.
above you. Do you
I
know
know it's
that? Do you know
above you.
that
I'm not.
what's above you is above you, whether or not you're looking left or right? Do you know that?
So I'm telling you, is the
The
Earth
question
tilted?
is, do you know that things that are above you are still above you, whether you look left or right?
What? I'm just telling you, we
You
are
don't know that.
we
Okay, the
are
things that
this
are
is
above you are above you, whether or not you look left or right. They are still
it's not
above
about
you.
looking
Now
left
that
or
you
right.
know it. Congratulations.
It's not about looking left or right. If I move 1,000 miles in 1 hour and 67,000 miles circling the sun, every night I shouldn't be able to see the sun.
Now I get you. Yep, so you should buy my book because I answer all these questions in the book. So I can get you the actual numbers on this. Are you ready?
A book. So
Huh?
you have like lists of flat earth questions and then you just answer them.
Yes, it's called Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. And I wrote this book because I've talked to hundreds of people like you. So.
Oh wait, so you talked hundreds of, so you're just denying the evidence?
No, I've looked into the evidence. So here, I can prove that your argument here is completely stupid. If the Earth is moving, then the stars should change, right? I wrote about this already. I thought way ahead of you. Why don't the stars change if Earth is moving so fast? Here's why. You've probably noticed that when you're driving in a car, the telephone poles look like they're moving quickly, but the trees on the horizon look motionless. Are you with me so far?
Yes. So
This is
wait,
because the parallax angle you create by moving with.
how much does this book cost?
You can get it for $10. This is because the parallax angle you create by moving with something close is very large, but for something far away is very small. The closest star to us, besides the Sun, is Proxima Centauri at around 4.25 light years. If we take the distance Earth moves in 1 minute, that will serve as the base of our triangle. The distance to Proxima Centauri is the height of our triangle. This angle, or the angle created by this, is 0.00000000171788 degrees. Can you see an angle that is
Zero
that
point
small?
zero zero. Well, relative to what? To me, it's
To
not even.
anything, can you see an angle that
Is it
is that
relative
small?
to the Earth or like
It doesn't
guys?
matter. The angles
Does
aren't
that
relative
matter?
to anything. Can you discern an angle that is that big?
I think you're misunderstanding.
So the question is, can you discern an angle that is that large?
What is relative? Is it relative?
It's not relative to anything. Angles aren't relative to anything. Can you discern an angle that is that small? The answer is no, so I'm going to move on.
You are misunderstanding everything.
No, I'm not misunderstanding anything at all. You said that the stars need to be shifting position because the Earth is moving. The logic of that is okay, except that you don't understand how far away the stars are. I just gave you the number. The angle is 0.00000001718 degrees. Humans can't see angles that are that small. Not even a hawk can see an angle that is that small.
Listen, is it compared to a human being as small as a human being?
It's not compared to anything. It's a fucking angle. The Earth goes from here to here. That creates the base of the triangle. The star is up there. The angle it creates is 0.00000001718 degrees. We can't see angles that are that small.
Listen, is the Earth looking at it or me?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
No.
Am I as big as the Earth?
If you were paying attention, then you would have heard.
I understand, but how big are my eyes?
No, you don't understand. Because I said
to the Earth, not to me.
You don't understand because I said the base is the distance Earth moves in 1 minute. So you can say it's you or the Earth. It doesn't matter.
If I'm looking at it, if I'm as big as the Earth, let's say I'm as big as the Earth, and I'm looking at an angle, and someone as small as a human being, looking at the same angle, but they see this different angle, I think this is like...
Once again, I wouldn't even charitably call that a sentence, what you just said there.
You're comparing the Earth size to a human. You have to make it relative.
It doesn't matter, because what I'm doing is I'm taking the distance Earth moves in 1 minute, which is based on the speed that the Earth is going through the, Milky Way? Yeah, through the Milky Way galaxy. So it doesn't matter, because the speeds are so incredible that it doesn't matter if we're talking about something the size of Earth or the size of a human. If you don't get it, then you don't get it. Well, right. Don't get it.
I guess we're going to pass it. We're going to pass it.
No, there is no pass. You are wrong. The angle it creates is 0.00000000001718 degrees. Humans can't see angles that are that small.
I'm saying,
in fact, if we allow the Earth to travel for an entire year, then it still only makes an angle of 0.009 degrees. Still too small to see. Right. But that's also not how it works, because all the stars in the Milky Way are rotating together, so that North Star is traveling with us as we orbit through our galaxy.
No, I'm saying is that you don't understand relativity. You have to relativize.
Yes, I do.
If you're thinking a human size, an eye size as big as the Earth, looking at an angle that small, maybe you wouldn't see it. But if it's a human being with the small eyes it uses, it definitely would see that angle. So let's move on.
No, you can't see angles that are that small. I don't know how you don't get it, but you don't get it. Humans can't see angles that are that small. There's no such thing as relative to X, Y, or Z. You can't see angles that small.
If human's eyes are as big as the Earth, maybe...
There's no such thing as how big or how small your eye is. You can't see angles that are that small.
All right. I think the basic fundamental essence of who calculated this? You just copying and pasting this? Did you calculate it yourself?
Yes, I did the calculations myself. They're not hard to do. Fucking triangle. You look up the base and the height, and then you just figure out the angle.
When you use the size of the Earth, did you use relative to a human?
I don't use the size of the Earth because that's not how you do it. And again, there's no such thing as relative to anything. an angle that's too small to see is too small to see.
All right, so let's change topic. I guess you can. All right, let's change topic. Let me ask you one question that no one can answer, right? No one can answer. What is gravity to you? What is gravity?
Gravity is the observed phenomenon. It's the observed phenomenon of mass attracting mass, and it's a consequence of massive objects warping space-time.
So it's an observation. How do you know it's gravity? It's just
because there are mathematical calculations that are precise to multiple decimal places that have been repeated too many times to be able to count.
Right, but
and not a single alternative explanation has ever yielded any results that work.
Well,
ever.
For you to use any calculation, you need to find the rate of acceleration, right? The rate of acceleration.
Yep. On average, 9.8 meters per second squared.
You need to have that before you use any formulas or any calculation. You need that, right? You agree that you need that 9.8 meter per second square?
No, you can derive the acceleration if you know the mass of the object. We've done that before. We knew what the acceleration of gravity on Mars was going to be before we got there. We knew what it was going to be on the moon before we got there.
Let me ask you, what is the formula to get that?
To derive 9.8 meters per second squared?
So it's gm1 m2 over r2. That's what you use to get the 9.8 meters per second squared.
Yeah, but if you don't know 9.8 meters per second squared, you can derive it from the other known things.
No, that is the fundamental formula to use.
Formulas can be rearranged to solve for different variables within them.
No, I understand, but let me
okay.
Let me go back.
So you don't need to know 9.8. You can derive it from the other pieces of information if you have them.
I'm using the average what are you asking? I'm telling you.
I'm not asking you anything. I'm telling you that you don't need to know F. You can solve for, or you can, well, actually, in this case, you are solving for F, whatever. We can derive the acceleration if we don't know it on a world we've never even been to, like the moon.
So, no, we don't know that. I've never measured it. You never measured it. Let's not talk about the moon. Let's talk about the Earth, the 9.8 meter per second square. You need that to calculate, to do any calculation. You need that 9.8
yes.
meter per second
and
square.
And the experiments we do with this always yield consistent results. That's how we know we have a working
right.
model.
So, listen. So, do you know Coulomb's law? The
yes.
formula for Coulomb's law?
Yeah. What's the charge of the Earth?
No, the Coulomb's law, do you know what it is? The formula?
Yes, I know. And the structure of the formula is a lot like, it's almost the same as gravity, but the Earth doesn't have a charge.
All right, so let's go back.
No. He asked the most basic and fundamental question, which is, what's the charge of the Earth? That's how, now I have to change the subject.
No, listen. You don't understand the basic formula to get gravity.
I'm silently screaming.
The Earth doesn't have a charge. So the idea that just because these formulas are structured they only work with potential differences. Yes, the Earth does not have a charge.
Does the surface of the Earth have a charge?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Oh
my God.
No.
Listen. You don't know anything. I'm
I know more than nothing, which means I know more than you. So, do you acknowledge that the Earth is a sphere? Because in order for your equation to work, you have to have a radius.
I'm giving you the. So you don't know the charges of the Earth.
What's the radius of the Earth?
The formula of gravity.
There is no charge for the Earth. What you don't realize is that you're conceding that the Earth is a globe.
The Earth is neutral.
What's the radius of the Earth?
The surface of the Earth.
Hey, Giant, what's the radius of the Earth, which is a requirement for your formula? What's the radius of Earth?
It's 3,000 something.
So you acknowledge that Earth is a sphere?
What do you mean?
You need a radius.
I'm using the information they gave us.
What does R squared mean, Giant?
To disprove that's the...
Giant, what does R squared mean?
R squared is the... the volume. It is. I've used it to
it's R squared is the volume.
No, it's not the volume. It's the.
You're arguing for square circles at this point.
So no, are you just gonna say, oh, because you know the radius of the Earth, it's you know it's a sphere. That's not yep. what I'm saying. That's not what I'm
yes,
saying.
Yes, it is what you're saying. Well, then you need to abandon this because it can't explain anything. A flat Earth doesn't have R squared, so you have nothing to work with. So this explanation doesn't actually explain anything in your worldview.
Bro doesn't know what radius is.
Yes, I do.
It's not radius. So I'm,
yes, no, it is. R squared is radius squared.
Oh my God, you don't understand.
Oh my God, you don't understand. No, R squared is radius squared.
Look.
Giant, what's R squared?
I'm giving you, it's not just...
Giant, what is R squared?
It's not radius squared, it's not.
Yes, it is.
To find gravity, you need radius. The radius of the Earth, is that what you ask me?
To use this electrostatic formula, you have to have a radius.
But I'm telling you,
distance between two charged objects. You have to have a radius.
You know, gravitational formula. The formula I told you. It's there is R squared. Telling me you need the square, the radius of the Earth.
To do electrostatics, you need R squared. It's the same formula, just different constants.
He's deflecting. You don't.
No, I'm not. You need R squared for both of them.
So let's go back to the. It's not radius. The radius.
Yes, it is. It's R squared. Radius.
All right.
Yes, it is. Do you know that things weigh less the higher up you go?
So you claim
Giant, I have a question for you. Do you know that things weigh less the higher up you go?
So are you claiming it's...
Giant, do you know that things weigh less the higher up you go?
You're changing topic now.
Giant, do you know that things weigh less the higher up you go?
Yes.
Okay. That's because the distance, R squared, is growing. So, yes, to do gravity, you do have to have a radius. That is how it works. No, so, once again, you're wrong.
Is R squared the radius?
Yes. And why do things weigh less on the tops of very tall buildings? Because R squared grows.
Are you talking about the radius of what?
The radius is the distance you are from the center of the object's mass.
Well, I need my computer to show you and open my camera and everything to show you that you don't... I guess it's not, there's no point on showing you, right? Let me explain to you. You need the 9.8...
It wouldn't do you any good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're back to 9.8. Yeah, sure, you need 9.8 because that is the observed fact of the rate at which objects fall on Earth on average.
You want me to show you?
Yeah. We need 9.8. Therefore, what? What's your argument?
It's not radius.
Yes, it is radius.
You understand it is.
Then what is it?
It's not. It has to do with the volume. I've done the calculation myself. But
it has to do with volume. What?
The distance. I'm showing. That has nothing to do. The point is that you need the 9.8 meter second to do any kind of calculation that has to do with gravity, and that 9.8 meter per second squared is just an observation. It's the average downfall acceleration of an object.
Yeah. So what?
At a fall.
How's that a problem for anything?
So do you understand that? You're claiming that this observation. And you're tying this observation to something, which is the general relativity of the gravity that Einstein come up with, the curving space of time. You understand that? The warping space of time.
What about it?
They tied it to that. The 9.8 meters per second squared is the law. And they tied it to the theory that I'm denying. I'm not denying the 9.8 meter per second square. I'm denying the theory that is tied to it.
Great. So have you done the math and revealed that the mathematics does not yield consistent, accurate, reliable, repeatable results?
There's no math you need to do.
No, there's only math that you need to do because this is physics.
No, I'm telling
the only thing, it's remarkable that you said that because actually the only thing that would be appropriate to do would be math.
They don't know what it is. 95% of it is dark matter, dark energy.
It's completely irrelevant. That's the composition of the universe.
Listen, so how are you going to do math of something you don't know its existence? You don't even know it exists.
I don't need to know.
Dark matter and dark energy, they don't even know it exists.
Do I need to know what Pepto-Bismol is in order to study snowflakes?
I'm telling you.
Do I need to know what Pepto-Bismol is in order to study snowflakes?
Listen.
Quit interrupting me while I'm gaslighting you. Do you need to know what Pepto-Bismol is in order to study snowflakes?
Do you know that gravity?
The question is, do you need to know what Pepto-Bismol is in order to study snowflakes?
What?
Do you need to know what Pepto-Bismol is in order to study snowflakes?
I'm not answering that question.
Great, so I'll answer it for you. The answer is no. So if I don't know what dark energy is, what does that have to do with gravity? Literally nothing. So there we go.
Dark matter and dark energy is 95% of gravity.
No, it isn't. Dark energy isn't. Dark matter exerts a gravitational influence, but it's not the source of gravity here on Earth.
Dark matter and dark energy explains 95% of what they claim is gravity. And
no.
They don't know. Go ahead and research this.
I have researched it. Dark energy has nothing to do with gravity.
Really?
That's really?
A strong claim.
Yeah.
Is that a strong claim?
I'm really starting to think dark energy doesn't have much to do with gravity.
Let me show you.
So oh, really?
You're not open-minded then. Yes, I am. You're just like a clown that just comes in here and just argues against someone.
I'm funny like a clown,
clown. When someone is talking facts and you're just denying it, acting like a clown, that's just it.
I literally proved to you that you don't even believe what you say you believe on multiple different occasions.
No, you manufactured an explanation.
No, I'm being serious right now.
I proved
to you that you can't see an angle as small as the angle for when the sun or when the Earth flies through space. There, I got it out at the end. And then you said, relative to what?
So quit being clown. Let's just talk facts. Would you agree
okay,
that?
Okay, you're an idiot.
Let's talk facts. When you have something and 95% of it is invisible and you don't know what it is and you don't know how it works or you don't know how it looks, would you claim it is there? Because that's what they use to explain the theory of gravity, and the only 5% they know for a fact it exists is because we observe 9.8
giant seconds. Do atoms exist?
Do atoms I've never researched. I don't have any criticism against it.
So you have no problem with...
I know people have, like, with electrons and stuff, but I don't want to talk about it. I've never done any research upon it. But let's go back to gravity. What is gravity now?
I'm going to interrupt you. So what I was going to say is, we've known about the existence of atoms. We've had extremely good scientific experimental evidence verifying our theories, our hypotheses about the nature and composition of atoms and matter since the early 1800s. We've had it for that long. But that whole time, we didn't know that protons, neutrons, and electrons exist. So does that mean that we didn't know what we were talking about in the 1800s? There was some stuff that they were wrong about, but they were largely right about everything. So not knowing what dark energy is has fuck all to do with if we have an accurate model about gravity, its effects, and how it works here on Earth.
Wait, so you don't have anything except the 9.8 meter per second square?
We have countless experiments to verify our model. Like, I can't use, like, going to other planets because you believe we never went there or whatever. But, so I guess I'm not 100% sure what to use for you. But, again, your weight changes if you go to the very top of a tall building because R squared changes. That's consistent with our theory of gravity. GPS satellites, the clocks in them have to tick at a different rate because they're farther away from Earth's gravity well than things here at the surface. So the clocks are programmed differently.
Let me explain to you. There is an acceleration of force. There's an acceleration of force that goes down at a rate of 9.8 meters per second square, right? And that fluctuates. Sometimes it changes. Sometimes you weigh something because of that force.
Yeah, because mass is not evenly distributed throughout the planet.
That is the law of gravity. That is the law. I'm not denying that. No one's denying that. That is provable. We've proven it. We use it to build stuff up. We use it, right? But you claiming that G in itself, that G, you're tying it to galaxy and black holes, and which is 95% of it is dark matter. Dark. It has no observation. You can't observe it. You've never observed a planet getting pulled by another planet with
that
gravity.
That is not a problem for anything we know about the effects of gravity here on Earth in all the different kinds of ways it's been experimentally verified.
If I can prove that 9.8 meters per second square is caused by another force that we
you
know
can't.
Exists, that we know it exists, and that
you
we
can't
can
derive 9.8 meters per second squared from electrostatics. You can't do it.
In that we can manipulate, we can use it to manipulate stuff up, we can lift stuff up, we can move it around. If I can prove you wrong,
what's the charge of the Earth?
So look, if I can prove you wrong,
first of all, you have to concede that Earth has a radius, which means you have to concede that it's a globe. So are you ready to do that?
Let's not talk about that. I'm just telling you that.
No, because you no, we are talking about that because your alternative explanation is electrostatics. You need R squared for your electrostatics. So are you going to concede that the Earth is a globe?
Before I explain that, let me explain the reason. The only thing that you have right now is the 9.8 meter per second square. And if I can prove that another force is causing that force, that rate of acceleration, you now has to change the entire, the 95% of gravity you don't know, you've never seen, you've never observed. That is, there's a reason you don't know what it is, you don't know. But if I can prove you that it's electromagnetism, electrostatics, now everything changes. Now you can't call it gravity. And the Earth,
good
the
luck.
Earth, and the Earth is not, it's not, it doesn't, it's, it has charge, it's neutral. It's basically polarized, it's balanced. It does have charges, but it's balanced, it's neutral. And the surface of the
Congratulations. Earth. That would mean that it has no ability to attract anything.
The Earth, the physical Earth and the surface of the Earth is different. The surface of the Earth is negative. Provable. We use it to measure stuff. We've used it. This is provable stuff. You can go ahead and research it, right? The surface of the Earth is negative. And the sky is positive. We all know this. And there is a flow of electricity, a flow, electric current, they call it, circuit, the electric circuit that flows from positive to negative at a rate, some kind of rate, I don't know the rate, and that causes positive and positive rejects each other, and negative and positive attracts. And that is provably what's causing us to stay on the Earth. That's the force.
No, it's not provable.
It is provable.
Am I on the Earth? The question was, am I on the Earth?
If I'm going to...
So I have a question for you. Am I on the Earth?
Yes, you are.
Okay, am I positively charged?
You're neutral. You don't have any charge on the Earth.
I don't have any charge, so that's why I'm
That's why there is no other force in your...
Great. So the Earth is... The ground is positively charged.
The ground is neutral.
The ground is neutral. So if I have two things, so electrostatics, you have charge one and charge two. The only way that they can produce of force on each other is if they have differences in electric potential. Right. Do you understand right. that?
I think you understand. You have the.
Yes, bonus. I know that I understand this because I have done this for a living. Okay.
Let me.
No, you're not going to do anything except answer some questions. Two objects that are neutral do not have a difference in electric potential. That means that they cannot induce movement in each other. Do you understand?
A neutral object always stands still.
Two neutral objects that do not have any difference in charge have zero potential. Shut up. They have zero potential difference. Therefore, they cannot induce movement in each other.
You don't understand. Who says the Earth is attracting us? Who says that?
You.
I said the Earth is neutral and you're neutral.
Which means if I jump off of a building, there is nothing to account for why I fall down in your model.
Explain that. The surface of the Earth is negative, as we know. The ground is neutral. As you go up, there is positive. When you are at a high altitude, you are at a positive.
Then why does a helium balloon float?
Because, what do you mean?
Why does a helium balloon float?
Because it is less denser and it finds its...
No, your explanation is that the air is positive. When it's in the air, it needs to be pushed down. Why does it not push down?
I'm explaining to you. It's less denser for it to go...
That doesn't matter because there's a positive force in the air pushing it down.
So you think you think density has nothing to do on how fast we go or how fast...
I think you are making shit up as you go along. You have zero explanation. You've had to forfeit everything. You have to use a model that assumes a radius and then say that there's no such thing as the radius. You have to say that objects that are neutral move because of different charges around them that are pushing on them that don't push on other things.
Yeah. So are you telling me you can only have radius on a sphere?
Yes.
You can't have it on a circle?
So you understand that the way the difference in potential energy... Yeah, this isn't the gotcha that you think it is because you're a fucking idiot.
You're claiming the Earth has no radius. It still has radius if the Earth is a circle.
Yes, except the problem with your explanation is that the force of attraction in a sphere, that force of attraction is toward the middle, so you're always... equidistant. Now, Earth isn't perfectly spherical, but whatever. That is where that radius is drawn from. In your model, a flat Earth has a radius? Sure, it's at the North Pole. That means that people at the equator experience less of an attractive force than people in the Arctic Circle, for example. Except here's where your model completely falls apart again. Do things get pushed toward the North Pole?
Who says
giant? Do things get pushed toward the North Pole?
Who said that?
Giant, do things get pushed toward the North Pole?
No one.
Giant, do things get pushed toward the North Pole?
No.
No. So then, what is the point of you saying, "Well, if Earth is flat, it still has a radius"? When the radius is part of the equation that tells you how strong that force of attraction is. So what was the point of that?
The radius helps you. It's a way to calculate for... you don't know the
Clamp law? See, if I'm at the North Pole or I'm at the equator, if Earth is a globe, then we're still being pulled toward the center of the Earth. If Earth is flat, then that radius is there in the middle, and now everything is completely fucked up, and there's no equidistant points unless you're on the same line of latitude. This explains nothing at all.
I'm saying the Coulomb's law uses
radius. You need a radius. Yeah, so what's your radius here?
That Coulomb's law is a way to... What do you mean?
What is your radius?
It does...
What is your radius?
It's not the same radius you're thinking of.
Then what is it?
I will explain to you right now. That's why I said at first it's not.
You have 15 seconds. What is your radius?
I'm gonna have to show you some.
You have 5 seconds.
You
ran out of time. You don't know what the radius is. You're gonna pull up some fucking bathroom stall style drawing to be like, yeah, this guy who's a crackhead, he figured this all out.
I'm showing you right now. Give me 1 second.
Tell me. If you know it, then you can just tell me.
It's not the same radius you were thinking of. It's the I want to give you the right it's the distance, the straight line distance between the object at the end and the object in the to the middle. It's not the distance.
Great. You know what has a middle? A sphere has a middle.
A circle even also has a middle. A circle, a center.
Fucking Christ, you're so goddamn fucking stupid. It's almost unbelievable, right? So the electrostatics, those two objects are pulling toward that radius, right? So are things moving toward the North Pole?
Who said?
Are things moving toward the North Pole?
I said no. Who said?
So then why are you bringing up that a flat Earth has a radius?
It could be the attraction to the Earth's surface. You still need the radius.
If we're being attracted toward the Earth... Buddy, I honest... Just... Oh, no. I'm not... Nope, I can't. I literally can't.